Carol, my wife Carol, had made a friendship with Jason's teacher. I think it was actually your first grade teacher, wasn't it? And they had got really friendly, and the kids grew up, but Carol and her had maintained their friendship. And after the two older kids became teenagers, this friend of Carol's had invited her to a youth group. She was telling her about this great youth group at this church, which turned out to be this church, YCF. And they came to youth group, and my daughter Tammy tells me that on the first night at the youth group, her and her brother Eric were both born again. The first night, and but they continued to go to the youth group for, like, I think she told me 3 months before they started coming to church. But what it took was, I think, a lady that there was some kind of a youth function the one night, and one lady who was one of our regulars at YCF happened to be there for that, and she actually went up to Tammy and invited her to come to church and help teach the children. And that's what started her and my kids coming to church. And I didn't even know that. She shared that with me yesterday. So it's pretty cool to hear that. And that's what it takes. That's the go part. It could be as simple as just opening your eyes and your heart where you're standing in the middle of Walmart, as Pastor Sherry said the other week. Go to Walmart and hang out with people. it's amazing what'll happen if you just, and you don't have to do what I call throw your Bible at people. Just share that love that God put in your heart. It's really can be that simple. And it's not always that simple, but you got to start somewhere. So the go part. So today's message is go. And I'm sorry, it's kind of long. The title: how can we do the works of Jesus locally in our own backyard? Well, like I just shared about this story with Tammy. That lady just spoke up. All she had to do is invite Tammy to church. And Carol's friend, all she had to do was invite our kids to youth group. Sometimes that's all you have to do is say a couple of words. Pretty cool how God makes that work. So scripture, there's two scriptures actually. A variation on the one Pastor D shared, Mark 16:15, and he said to them, go to all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to go out into the world and tell people about Jesus. But Pastor Sherry shared Acts 1:8 with us that we're going to share with you. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witness, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. But you notice it said, now when Jesus spoke to them that last time, they were about a half mile away from Jerusalem. And when this scripture talks about telling people about me everywhere, he starts with Jerusalem. He starts locally as far as where these people were at. He was encouraging them, in my mind, to share the gospel, talk to people about Jesus locally, and eventually end up going to the ends of the earth. And that's the idea that Sometimes we do things and we forget our neighbors. Maybe we forget that whatever we do, it can start right here. You can reach out to people wherever you are, and it really can be that simple. Grocery store, the bank, your errands. Let God tug on your heart and point these things out to you. Maybe you're in the grocery store and there's a lady that's having a really bad day, and you can lots of times visibly tell, you know, and you don't need to stand there and preach to her. You could just say, "Hi, how are you?" And that could make all the difference to her in the world. And maybe open things up so that you could actually have a conversation with her. A long time ago, Carol, my wife, had gone to Walmart, and she met a lady that became a really good friend of ours, and they talked, and Carol invited her to church, and she came here for a long time, well, several years, before they left the area. But we met their kids, we babysat for them, her grandkids, and we ended up with a really nice relationship. And it's just amazing, if you stop and talk to people, what can happen, how God can work through you. So what I'm actually supposed to talk about is my subject. Everybody has a little subject, the people they're speaking to focus on, about how we can do the works of Jesus locally in our backyard. I just wanted to focus on ministries that our church supports. And so this is, and you guys are helping because you're supporting these ministries. There are, YCF supports several ministries, but I wanted to focus on the ones we separate, I wanted to focus on the ones that are local, that we support. There's four of them. One is, the first one's New Life for Girls. Has anybody heard of New Life for Girls? They've been around forever. Yeah. That's right. They're up in Dover. And it is a comprehensive 24-hour residential program for those who are struggling with different things, life-controlling problems, drug and alcohol addiction, and others. And they do great stuff. We used to have some people that would go up there and volunteer and work on the building. And if that's on your heart, look up the website and give them a call and see if that's something that, if that's on your heart, if that's something you could help with. What a great way to continue to encourage and love on people. Another one, I have not heard of this, 18 South Youth Ministries. It is a nonprofit, impact-driven organization that helps build authentic relationships with the youth in their community. In this case, it's in Red Lion, and they provide a meal, encouragement, safe environment, and a space that nurtures healthy relationships. That sounds pretty good. So, and I know that they definitely do. Here again, look on the website. If you have any interest, give them a call and go volunteer if the youth are on your heart. Life Path Christian Ministries, most of us local people know them as I forget the name. The old name, yeah. Anyway, we grew up with the old name. It was turned into, changed to a Life Path. And they do great stuff. They support people with food, shelter. They have a thrift store. They just reach out to the homeless and lots of people and just love on them and share Jesus with them while they're at it. And same thing, you can just check the website, and they're always looking for volunteers. Now, the last one, I don't think anybody has ever heard of this one. Harvest of Blessings, near and dear to our heart. Gerald Toby is in the back trying to be conspicuous or inconspicuous. And we know her really well. She has been doing great stuff with the needy. She helps with food. The vision of Harvest of Blessings is to stomp out hunger. Amen? And she does it really well. Every Saturday, they distribute hundreds of meals. She recently, not Saturday anymore, Tuesday and Friday, oops, okay. So, see, you're changing too quick. We can't keep ahead. But she is such a blessing. It's my honor to know her. We have known her at YCF for many years. I can't even tell you how many, at least 15. And she's been a blessing to us. She's been a blessing to this church. She helps supply goodies sometimes for the youth and is just amazing to be around. If you get her started to talk about Jesus, she doesn't stop, and that's okay. Just a wonderful person to be around, and you know when you talk to her that your money's going to a good place. She feeds people. She takes care of people. I even had the opportunity to help give some furniture away through Gerald. It was a blessing. And there's other ministries that they support, that YCF supports. Most of them are international, but I guess I just have to put a plug in for my daughter because she's in Uganda, and she happens to be one involved in one ministry that YCF supports. Actually, I was talking to her yesterday, and this is a quote from her. She says, "Go, help Gerald, help the needy, and be a light." And Gerald can always use volunteers, right? Always. So look at her website, talk to her in church. You can always help. How we doing? Oh, I talked too much. Okay. Thank you for your time. Just keep that in mind wherever you go. Just think about the opportunity. What's God saying to you about that person in the grocery store? Keith? Mr. Keith is next.
Good morning, everybody. How many of us in here call ourselves a Christian? Show of hands. I'm going to read you a little bit out of Matthew. Then I'm going to share a couple testimonies with you. And then I'm going to read you something else out of Deuteronomy. So in Matthew 25:40, "Then the king will answer, 'The truth is, anything you did for any of my people here, you also did for me.' Then the king will say to the evil people on his left, 'Get away from me. God has already decided that you will be punished. Go into the fire that burns forever, the fire that was prepared for the devil and his angels. You must go away because when I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. When I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. When I had no place to stay, you did not welcome me into your home. When I was without clothes, you gave me nothing to wear. When I was sick in prison, you did not care for me.' Then those people will answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty? When did we see you without a place to stay? Or when did we see you without clothes or sick in prison? When did we see any of this and not help you? The king will answer, the truth is anything you refuse to do for any of my people here, you refuse to do for me. Then these evil people will go away to be punished forever, but the godly people will go and enjoy eternal life. So when you are driving down a road and see somebody sitting along the road, how many people today are like, wow, I don't want to stop, I might get shot or kidnapped or whatever. You know, you hear all these stories. I don't think of it too much around this area, but you never know. I see some pretty crazy stuff on the highway. People getting shot in town all the time. We were out at Kenny's. I was coming through the parking lot. I mean, the clouds were black. The sky was black. It was getting ready to dump. And there was a guy and a lady beside her truck. She was distressed. She was pacing back and forth. The hood was up, and I thought, yeah, I'll just go see if I can help them out. And so I go over. All they needed was a jump. They had help on the way, but it was away for a while till they were getting there. So got jumper cables out, gave them a jump, and she said, what can I give you? Can I give you some money? I said, no, nothing. And then she said it again before I was done. I said, to God all the glory. And she stuttered to him. What did you say? I said, to God all the glory. And you could just see whatever was on her just lifted, and the glow on her face and her smile. And if that wasn't glory to God, I don't know what is. And that's when you stop and help people, and that gives you the joy. And so many people think that because it says in the Bible or Christians are supposed to or have to, it's not because you have to, it's because you want to, and the love of your heart, and it brings you joy to help somebody. And that's what my idea of a Christian. If you say, well, I have to do this, and I have to help these people, or I have to feed this person, or I have to do this or that, and you don't do it for the joy or the love to do it, then are you really a Christian? If you say, do I have to do this so I get to heaven? I know a guy. There was a time we were actually on our way to church one Sunday, and it was a week that we had potluck. So we're running over to BJ's to pick up subs for the potluck, and we come off of 30 on the 74 there, Carlisle Road, to go to BJ's, and a car stopped right there underneath the bridge. It was an elderly lady, but it was a lady and her mother, and they were actually going to church. Their tire was shredded, and I made my wife, Sherry, I made her pull over. I said, you pull over now. She goes over. I get out. Before I even got to the car, I could see the tire was shredded. So I told her, I said, go pick up the subs. Pick me up on the way back. So we had the tire changed, and they were on their way to church, and she picked me up on the way back. She had a whole handful of cash she was trying to give me. I said, no, to God all the glory. Give it to your church. Go. So one other testimony was, I know a guy, and I know there's a couple people in here that heard this story. And I know a guy that he says he hears when God speaks to him. And he went through a lot of hard times. And he was really at the bottom of the barrel at one point. Just went through a divorce. Filed bankruptcy, living in somebody's basement, I think. But he was running around with his friend, picked up a homeless guy, didn't know they were homeless, didn't know he was an actual bum, he was just living. And so they were helping him out, and guys emptying lawn chairs and blankets and stuff, and he said he heard God speak to him and said, look at his feet. And he looked down. Every toe, excuse me, every toe on both feet was hanging out the end of his boots. And he said he heard Jesus say, give him your boots. And he did. He said, he told his other friend that was with him, he said, I have a job. I can get another pair. And he can't. So there is people, like Mark said, in need everywhere, whether it's the grocery store, along the road, or wherever you go. And it's not just for people like Miss Gerald to feed them. My wife and her sister Sherry and the kids and the nieces all go in town to find the homeless, and when they come out of the shelter, and pray for them, feed them, toothbrushes, hats, gloves, whatever, in the wintertime, blankets, you name it. So, and there is so much power in prayer. Anybody can pray for whoever's beside them. And your neighbor doesn't stop with the person that lives next to you. Your neighbor is everywhere, the whole community, the whole country, everywhere. And God says, love thy neighbor. I'm going to read Deuteronomy 15:11. There will always be poor people in the land, and that is why I command you to be ready to help your brother or sister. Give to the poor in your land who need help. He says, I command you. That's the word of God right there. So I don't know what else to say. Anybody that calls them a Christian, calls yourself a Christian, raise your hand. Brian?
Amen. Whew. Powerful testimony. Amen. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Hallelujah. So I'm gonna read from Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, and then also Titus chapter 2, verses 7 through 10. And I'm going to talk a little bit about, just really briefly, about God moving in the workplace in particular. And so I've been with the same employer for about, as of today, 25 years. Same employer, believe it or not. Got the job right after I started tithing, actually. I've been the same place ever since. And I've learned a lot along the way, a lot of things not to do. But probably the biggest thing that God brought to my heart this morning that I learned was not to complain, especially around my coworkers, but just not to complain in general, because God just wants to give us a greater understanding. And I think Brother Keith alluded to this too, as Christ followers, you know, knowing whose we are, who we belong to in the midst of all this, is really key to being willing to give, knowing God's got our back every step of the way. And so I'll just go ahead and read from Matthew 5:13 through 16 here. I'm going to read from the Passion Translation, but All these good translations say the same thing. So read from NLT or whatever you got. Jesus said, your lives are like salt among the people. But if you, like salt, become bland, how can your saltiness be restored? Flavorless salt is good for nothing and will be thrown out and trampled on by others. Your lives light up the world. For how can you hide a city that stands on a hilltop? And who would light a lamp and then hide it in an obscure place? Instead, it's placed where everyone in the house can benefit from its light. So don't hide your light. Let it shine brightly before others, so that your commendable works will shine as light upon them. And then they will give their praises to your Father in heaven. So the thing that hits me in that verse is God's created you light to be light. You, in fact, according to his word, you are salt. You are a city on a hill. So just stop and think about that. What does that mean about God's love for you? What does that mean what he's done for you? What does that mean in terms of who you are in Christ right here, right now? When you said yes to Jesus, what that's made you to be, who God's made you to be. So it's all of a sudden, as you let that creep in, as you let his word penetrate your mind and your heart with that, it's such a privilege to be used by God to bless somebody else. It becomes a privilege. Like Keith said, it's not, or I think Mark or probably both of them said this. It doesn't become like, oh, well, I have to do it. No, it's a privilege because God has blessed you and made you his child. You're his son. You're his daughter. You are salt and light. You are a city on a hill. There is no good thing God withholds from you. He withholds no good thing from you. And in his kingdom, as you give, you shall receive. In his kingdom, as you give, you shall receive. And like Matt said, it may not always, what returns back to you may not always be in the time, the season, or the return you expect it to be. But in 25 years, I've taken God at his word, and he has never forsaken me, never abandoned me. The troubles I've had in my life, I've brought on myself through mistakes I've made, through my own disobedience. You know, one of the other things God has coached me into doing at work, besides just not complaining, it's kind of a big thing. Because as some of you know from being in the workplace, and especially when they find out you're a Christian, they're just looking to sharpshoot you. Like, there's always a few of them in every workplace that are just looking to sharpshoot you, looking to find, you know, wait until you miss it, you know, and point it out, right? And but it's an awesome privilege to, in the face of that, in the face of some of that persecution, just speak life into people. You know, you can preach Jesus to people, absolutely. You never hold back. But one of the things I've just taken joy in at work is just speaking to people's destiny. Find the God thought. Like, hey, that's probably what God thinks. You know, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, right? And Jesus spoke life, right? And he said not only to forgive your enemies, but to pray for and bless your enemies, right? So no matter who that person is next to you at work, when you start speaking goodness and you start speaking into their future, like, hey, you know, God's got a plan, or hey, you know, you've got this talent or ability. If you develop that talent, you've developed that ability, you can go places and work, whether you see it or not, I see it, right? You can be that Jesus that they need in their lives, that maybe the person next to your work might not hear the gospel any other way, but they're going to hear it through you as you press in and obey to what God's saying. All right, so Titus chapter 2, 7 through 10. And this passage kind of relates to what Jesus said in the Beatitudes about being salt and light. Titus chapter 2, 7 through 10. Above all, set yourself apart as a model of life, of a life nobly lived. With dignity, demonstrate integrity in all that you teach. Bring a clear, wholesome message that cannot be condemned. And then your critics will be embarrassed, with nothing bad to say about us. Servants are to be supportive of their masters and do what is pleasing in every way. They are not to be argumentative nor steal, but prove themselves to be completely loyal and trustworthy. By doing this, they will advertise through all they do the beautiful teachings of God our Savior. So in that verse, it's saying, like, it's basically saying, hey, serve your employer just like you're serving Jesus. So, and that testimony that comes about, will God will work through and show up at your workplace. I've seen God move in a workplace that would otherwise be, where there would otherwise be restrictions. So I work for the federal government, and where there would otherwise be federal restrictions on certain activities, God's opened up doors where they're holding a Bible study over actually an official government digital channel where people are actually showing up in person, but then they're actually broadcasting the Bible study over a network so anyone can join in. And I don't know about you, but that's a breakthrough. And maybe I had something to do with, maybe I didn't, but God is moving, right? Amen. God is moving, and he just wants to show up everywhere, you know, and the workplace is one of those places that as you just remain obedient, as you don't complain, as you speak life over other people, doesn't matter where you are in the organization or company you find yourself in, God's going to begin to influence every part of that company through you. I've seen him do it in spite of me, you know, like in spite of my mistakes. So just recently, within the last few months, I had a chance to speak to the head of our organization about an idea that I have that I'm praying into. Believe it's a God idea, but it was just a favor thing. Just to even have the time. He's a really busy guy, but just even to have the time to speak to him, I was like, thank you, God. Like, you know, there's literally thousands of people trying to speak to him, and you know, God, you gave me an open opportunity that I didn't have to fight for. God just put it in my lap, you know, and it was just like, thank you, Jesus. You're amazing. Amen. And just trust God to, as you're obedient, as you give, as you work as though you're working for the Lord, God will promote you. God will promote you. I've seen him do it. He did it for me in spite of me. And obviously, you know, there are times where I would have to repent. And sometimes even openly around my coworkers, like, hey guys, yeah, you know, I really missed it there. Forgive me. You know, that's part of what God will have us to do in the middle of it. I think that's been about, yeah. So anyway, love you guys. Be salt, be light. And here is Mrs. Grimm.
Amen. Thank you. Well, Heather's coming up. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, chapter 2. And God says, some of y'all plant, some of y'all water. So all these people are just doing little parts. Some of y'all water, some of your plant, but God causes it to grow. So wherever he leads you, the people he puts in your path, the one word or the smile, maybe you're a planter, maybe you're a waterer. Don't worry, God will cause it to grow. Amen? Okay, this is Heather Grimm. Here we go.
Speaking of planters, it's very strange that you said it that way. It's not, it's God. I tend to be one of those planters. And the part I'm supposed to speak to you about today is literally in your backyard, right? Literally in your backyard. So we're going to do a little thing. I know that sometimes we don't like to move in our seats or whatever, but here's what I want you to do. You're going to follow along. I'm going to sing it the first time through, but I'm going to split you right down, like however you want to split, to one side or the other. It's up to you. But we're going to sing a little song, okay? I did this the other week downstairs. It's called Hallelujah. right? And so when you sing the hallelujah part, you stand up. And when you sing the praise ye the Lord part, you're going to stand up. Whichever side you're on, you're going to stand up. If you're able, if you're not able, just chill and just raise your hand up. So this side's going to be hallelujah. This side's going to be praise ye the Lord. And at the very end, the last line is praise ye the Lord. Everybody's going to stand up. You ready? All right. Do you want me to sing it first or do we know it? We know it. All right, here we go. So this side, ready? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord. Stay standing. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise ye the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise ye the Lord. Now everybody, praise ye the Lord. Now, downstairs we did, I had three girls and I had three boys. We did boys and girls, and it was hysterical. If you want to have fun and be lighthearted, play with a child, right? Proverbs 22:6 says this, train up a child in the way he should go, and even when he is old, he will not depart from it. That's a promise, right? Us parents, some of us are older, some of us are younger. Younger ones, you're trying to get them out of diapers. Older ones, you're trying to make sure that they don't wreck the car. Really older ones are going, are you really going to do that? I have a couple of older children, but it's a promise. But we have to do our part. We have to train them up. Now, we're going to train them up in the ways of the Lord, right? That's part of our job. As Christians who believe in Jesus Christ, we're passing it on because in the Old Testament it said we're supposed to write those scriptures on our forehead, we're supposed to pass it down, generation to generation. But it also says in here to train up a child in the way he should go. How many of you know each of our kids have personalities? And one bends this way and one bends this way. Train them up in the way they should go. I have four kids. Two of them are artists extraordinaire. They love art. It's the first one and the last one. Then I have one in the middle who was an absolute nut for sports. Could not figure out what to get him for his birthday because all he wanted was a ball, and we had 20,000 balls. And then I have one who loves kids, just absolutely adores kids. And when she was young, well, when all of our kids were young, we kind of, because we were in a different church, but we were kind of the kids' people there. Like Stacy's one of the kids' people here, right? So we taught our kids how to teach kids. And we coached her and we taught her how to teach other kids. She is a natural born teacher, right? We did all of those things, but we did it and we showed up in their lives in the ways that it worked for them. We didn't try to make them, okay, correction. I tried one time. Because in my brain, I saw our family going from church to church, encouraging others in the Lord. And I thought we would have a band. So I had one who was learning piano, one who was learning drums, one who was learning guitar. And I thought, like, we bought the guitar, we bought the drums, we had a keyboard. We actually had a piano because my grandmother gave it to us. I thought this was God's thing. Nobody likes the piano. The drummer could do it, but he could not stay focused enough to stay on task. And my guitarist, she didn't like it either. So I tried one time. It wasn't what God wanted, so it didn't work. But we went to the art shows for the ones who were artists. If you've never heard a mother across the field from a soccer game, you've never been to a game that my son was in. Because you could hear me. The guys could hear me on the other side. We showed up at their games. And we coached them. Glenn was a soccer coach for a while. I was a field hockey coach and then a volleyball coach for a little bit. Because that's what they were doing. That's what they loved. We showed up at their art shows. I've never been to a college art show until about 2 years ago. Went to Faith's art show. Was mortified by a couple of things. But I took a breath and walked away. And it was all right. Right? But in order to reach these people, little people, teenage people that are in our backyard, they are literally in your backyard. And if you have a swimming pool, they're really in your backyard, especially on 90-degree days like today. But you need to be, there's three things you need to be able to reach some of them. And God uses all of them. Be fun, be creative, be real. Studies show that children learn best. All of the educators in the room can tell you. Children learn best when they play. That's what the studies have shown. But what are they going to play? What do we think? What are they going to play? Well, it kind of depends on what you sow into them. If you sow in God's word, guess what's going to come out? So I was the oldest of four girls. My brother is way down there. I'm the oldest of five, but there were four girls all the time when I was little. And we learned the Bible stories. And we would spend all day getting props together, sheets, capes, whatever we could find, and we would do little shows for mom and dad. And a lot of times, I know one of them was the story of Esther, because she was one of my favorite characters when I was a little girl. You know, because there were four girls. My poor dad had too much estrogen in the house. But we would do little shows, and we would do shows about Esther. We would do shows about all of the, I mean, we would do like Shakespeare, the little girls playing David and Goliath. Like, we did those things because that's what they sowed into us. I've heard children telling other children how they know that God loves them. If you sow into that child, they're going to tell their friend. Now, if you sow what the world gives you, give them a screen or a game, and that's all you sow in, you're going to get screen time, temper tantrums when they can't have screen time, impatience, because not everything in this world, how many of you guys know, we don't get everything instantly. Even the microwave isn't that fast. You still got to wait a minute, right? So let's sow the word. Let's sow the word so we can reap the word. Matthew 18, 2-3 says this, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Children are fun. They love fun. They thrive on fun. Now, if you ask the people in my family, I'm not always that fun. Because I got a serious side that is really... So we would go to the grocery store and Dad would do the typical thing, throwing things, yelling, kind of things. I would hide, like, I'd be like, "Go back up to the floor. Just let me do the shopping." Right? So I'm not always that fun, but children are going to respond when you're fun. They're also going to respond when you're creative. Think about what the children see. The children look out in the world and they see wonderful things. They see supernatural things. But what do they see that we don't? Children look up in a cloud and they see puppies. Later in the day when there are shadows, sometimes they may see monsters in those shadows. And then they look at us and they go, "How do I make sense of this?" They're creative. Their minds are already going. So don't just tell the Bible stories as droning, "David got five stones, put them in his pocket, took one out, put it in his sling, threw it, and Goliath fell down." Really? That is not the way it happened. It happened like this. "Only a boy named David, only a little sling. Only a boy named David, but he could pray and sing. Only a boy named David, only a rippling brook. Only a boy named David, and five little stones he took. And one little stone went in the sling, and the sling went round and round. And one little stone went in the sling, and the sling went round and round." And they love this part. "And round and round and round and round and round and round and round. And one little stone went up in the air." And if you can whistle, and I don't know if I can right now. "And the giant came tumbling down." Splat. Be creative. Be creative. Right? So when you have all of you have the talent to tell a story. All of you do. We have a big rock down there. I don't know if you've ever seen the teens climb it, the kids climb it. So let's just say that you happen to be downstairs teaching, and you happen to be telling the story of Moses getting the Ten Commandments. You know what kids love to do? They love to climb everything. And Moses had to climb a mountain, right, to get up there to where God wanted him to be. Well, we don't have a mountain, but we got a big rock down there. Take your kiddos down the parking lot. Start telling them the story. Climb up there. Make a fake pair of out of foam like they have at the Dollar Tree. Just cut them out. Squiggle some lines on it. Because it was Hebrew, so we couldn't really read it. So how are the kids going to know if it's just a bunch of squiggles? They're not. Have them climb up there. Give them the Ten Commandments. Be creative. Be creative. The things that I remember the most are things that challenged me and were fun and creative. Back in the 80s, everything was kids' musicals. There was one called Sir Oliver's Song. It was a musical about the Ten Commandments. And I wanted to be one of the stars, tried out for the lead part. Guess what? Didn't get it. However, there was a little chorus part. Like, this place would go from country to country telling the different stories and the different styles of music of the different commandments. And the other day, when I was working on this, silly little song came to my mind. I was the girl on, there were three of us dressed like hula girls, and I was the one on this side, all by my, had two other friends, and that song popped into my head. I'm not, it's a long song, so I'm not going to sing it. I don't have that kind of time. But what the basic message was, I know I should never take his name in vain. To speak so disrespectful is a crying shame. To abuse his name is a foolish thing. I will always love his name. No other word is quite the same. I will always love his name and treat him as my king. That was drilled into me because we were having fun and being creative. I remember that it was God. It was God. The last thing, the be real part. There's a verse in Colossians 3:21. It says, Fathers, and that could be mothers, grandparents, anybody, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. When I was young, people were still guarding everybody against seeing what was going on in their house, right? Christians had to be just a certain way. You had to look a certain way. Kiddos had to behave a certain way. And that really upset me. And I had a real hard time with that. Children need us to be real. They know when we're not being real. They know when we're putting on a show for the crowd. What does real reality look like? What does it look like? Turn on a reality show. Guess what? It ain't a reality show. There are scripts to the reality show. And if there's not enough drama, they'll throw more drama in because they think that's what we want. But there's a book that is more real than any book in the world. The Bible is a book. Some have relegated it to just a bunch of stories. But these were real people with the same problems we have. What has been will be again. That's what Ecclesiastes says. What has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. So those people, right? Gideon, hiding in a wine press because he's got to get food, crushing and beating but the Midians were everywhere, right? He was scared. He was hiding. But he had the same problem we have. We go to work, and some people don't like it that we talk about God or that we believe in God. So we hide it. We don't tell them, right? That's our livelihood. I need to make some money to go home and pay for the groceries, right? God gave us a book of reality, and it has honesty, and it has answers, and that's what they're looking for. Little children, bigger children, really old children. Okay, not really old, but it's getting there. The thing that bothered me so much as a kid was hypocrisy. It says one thing and then it does another. But children, they can see that a mile away. They know when you're being real and when you're not. There are no answers in hypocrisy, and there is no truth. God gave us that truth to be faithful, to be able to move one foot in front of the other. Children need to know that we struggle. That's part of being real. We struggle, right? I saw something this weekend that really upset me. I saw my grandson with a look on his face of fear that I didn't ever want to see. Because somebody was struggling, an adult in his life was struggling. But God never leaves us without a way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will allow you who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with a temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it." One of the things that I struggled with when Heath was in school, he was my second born. He was the sport nut. He started on the basketball team. Now, if anybody's ever met my son, he is 5'4", same height as I am. But as a freshman and a sophomore in high school, he played basketball and he started. He was a starter on the basketball team. And then his junior year, you know, we're going, and even in the gym, I was still louder than everybody else. I never got thrown out, though, because I was not ignorant. I was just cheering him on. But the first couple of games in his junior year, I'm like, he's not starting. So finally one day on the way home from whatever game it was, I'm like, why don't you tell the coach that you're upset that you're not starting? And he said, I'm not upset about not starting. I'm like, why aren't you upset about not starting? Like, that's a big deal. And here's what he said to me, and God brought this to me about a month ago. He said, Mom, it's not about starting. It's about the minutes we play. And I play more minutes than all of the starters. They teach us as much as we teach them, if we allow God to do it. It's about the minutes we play. In our own backyards, we have and see children. They bring over friends, right? They are the mission field. They don't always live across the street or across the county or across the state or across the world. Sometimes they're in your own backyard. Research from the International Bible Society indicates that a large portion of Christians, it's around 83%, make their first commitment to Jesus between the ages of 4 and 14. That's the window. They call it the 4-14 window. Now, is all hope lost? No. No, all hope is not lost. The Barna Research Group shows that roughly 2/3 of born-again Christians, or 64%, make their decision to follow Christ before their 18th birthday. Right? We're going up in the teens now. The probability decreases with age. Some individuals do not accept Jesus Christ as their Savior until later in life. We know that. But it's 1 in 8 become Christians, or 13%, between the ages of 18 and 21. And past 21, less than a quarter, 23%, accept Christ after the age of 21. This is why we must go into our backyard. This is why we must meet them. Pastor Dee was telling me some things she used to do. They used to have crafts and then do a story with their friends in the neighborhood. Those are the things we have to do. If we make the investment to go into their worlds, our backyards, the workplace, the parking lot, right? And Tammy all over there, all the way over in Uganda. If we make that investment to go, we will be able to say, as John did in 3 John 1:4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. In my life, I can say that that is true. While my kiddos do not always do it perfectly, I know that they love Jesus, and I know that they love people and have shared Jesus with those people. How many minutes will you play? Are we going to keep playing? I did go to a church one time that said to me, that I was trying to get volunteers for a vacation Bible school. And I asked a lady who I loved dearly and who was so good with kids. I asked her to help me out once again. And this had been after several years that she hadn't helped out, but I knew she had it in there. And she said, I serve my time. I serve my time. It's for you young'uns to do now. And I walked away from that conversation brokenhearted because, one, we don't get younger. So if that's the case, is that going to happen to me when I get older? No. I'm playing every minute I can play. I might not have started this thing, but I'm going to play. I'm going to play all the way to the end. And children respond best to play. Could I have you stand? We're going to pray together. Father God, you have heard all of us today talk about going into our neighborhoods, into our backyards, into our workplaces, and all over the world. And as was spoken, that's not a suggestion. You commanded us to go. You commanded us wherever we are to be the light and the salt. And you promised that in every circumstance that we do that in, that you would bring joy. Is it always easy to follow you? No, it's not always easy. But it is always doable if we follow your plan. Father God, thank you for loving us so much that you sent your Son, that he could take all of those sins and deal with them once and for all. And Jesus, thank you for encouraging us to wait for the Spirit, because that is who guides us as we go. I'm not going to get to talk to everyone that someone else is going to get to talk to. I don't repair motorcycles. I don't drive bus. Some people don't teach small children. But God, you know each child of yours that needs you. And you have given us the ability to share them, to share you with them. Father God, encourage us to do that. And if there is anyone here or watching online that does not know you, that does not have you as their driving force, and they don't understand what this go thing means, Father God, have them speak to you. God, they can do it in the privacy of their own home. Or they can come to a fellow believer or someone who can guide them into how to surrender, because that's what this is, surrender of our lives to you. God, grace us with your presence as we go, and grace those people that come into our lives, even but for a moment, to be able to see you in us. In your name I ask it. Amen.
Okay, before you go, everybody needs homework. Teachers always give homework. For the next 30 days, we're going to build a habit. Before you get your feet out of the bed, before you even open your eyes, Lord, let me back up. Every epistle, Paul always writes, I am a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've asked Jesus Christ into your life, you're a servant. So every morning for the next 30 days, build a habit. Before you put your feet down, Lord, I am your servant. Send me. Give me eyes to see those that you put in my path. I am your servant. Any which way you want me, in Jesus' name, amen. And the next 30 days, if you have a testimony, come up and tell us. Amen. All right, y'all are blessed coming in, blessed going out. Everything you set your hand to, you prosper in. You are mighty in the kingdom of God. Have a wonderful week. If you'd like prayer, there's a bunch of us that are up here. Otherwise, say hi to somebody.